If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh, listening to the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm going to be chatting with Pip Hentz. She is a theta healer, author, and Reiki teacher. And we're going to be talking about turning pain into gain and a little bit also about Epsom salts and the benefits. Welcome to the show, Pip.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie.
So thrilled to be interviewing you or chatting with you today. I know I'm going to see you later in the month at the NZDSOS conference. For those of you that don't know Pip, Pip believes that happiness and success start with you. Working as an international presenter and author, a theta healing and Reiki instructor, practitioner, and mentor, Pip's passion in healing enables discerning seekers of light to feel empowered in health, wealth, happiness, and love. Through impactful release, she shows you how easy it can be to manifest the necessary changes to achieve your goals by identifying emotional, mental, and soulful limitations and building upon core strengths to be the best that you can be now. Believing the term healer is one who considers the body as a whole mind, body, and soul. She says your body is constantly regenerating and it is amazing. She offers one-on-one sessions and seminars and beautiful natural Epsom salts, which help to ease your aches and pains and stresses and strains. We're going to hear all about that today. She's based in Cambridge and she has also her Epsom salt product plus her organic herbal range, which is hand blended with love. I love that so much. Welcome to the show, Pip.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just amazing to be here. And just the run up to the NZDSOS conferences, as you've mentioned, you know, there's two of them. One's in Christchurch on the 21st and one's on the 28th in Auckland. So pleased to be there supporting them.
Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited. Well, Pip and I are going to be there. I'm going to be at the Auckland one only, but we're so excited to see people in real life and have some real hugs, real conversations. It's going to be fun. Yeah. All right. So Pip, before we get into the topic, which is turning pain into gain, which I love that topic, I would love it if you could share with our listeners, because you and I have known each other for about 10 years, although we don't know each other well. But I would love for you to share a little bit of your journey with us. You're formerly known, or you're known as Lady Rainbow Heart. You've done amazing, powerful work here in New Zealand and internationally. Tell me a little bit about your personal journey that has led you to this place where you're now helping people with pain and turning that into their gain.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their stories and, you know, I've ended up helping people through trauma and, you know, like attracts like often. And, you know, coming in as a little baby in this lifetime, I think if you'd said to me when I was born, well, this is what your life's going to be like, I would have gone right back to where I'd started, I think. But, you know, at the age of 3 weeks, I was diagnosed with having a very short left leg. And so by the age of 12, I had groundbreaking surgery by a Russian doctor who came to England. And I had an Elizarov technique, which they stretched your tibia and fibula on my left leg. Extremely painful. I was the first person to have it done. And, you know, I think I was a little bit of a guinea pig then. And I was visited by my aunt regularly. And she lived in the Canary Islands. She was always looked upon as my weird aunt. And she was into healing and meditation and people would say, oh, you're just like your aunt. And I'd say, no, I'm not. And, you know, went completely the opposite way and went into the medical profession and became a nurse and a midwife and worked there for 20 years. Nothing ever held me back. I had 5 inches difference when I was 12. Wow. And my right leg was then shortened 2 inches. So people say, oh, you're short. And I said, yeah, but I used to be taller. And then I went through 17 years of infertility and I've been married and not married and then married and not married in that search for happiness and love. And in the year 2000, I found a Reiki teacher and she helped me to center me and find myself within that chaos. And so I learned Reiki. I became a Reiki teacher, much to my dismay. I ended up working like my aunt, my weird aunt, moved away from midwifery And then I developed cancer in late 2008, 2009. And that's when I had a spiritual epiphany. Mm. And so, you know, the pain didn't stop there. And I don't think the pain actually stops in this world. I think we really learn to navigate it. You know, there's always going to be the reminders of that dark side. But it's how you eat and drink and look after yourself that really makes a huge difference. And that's what I've focused my attention on with the theta healing. I'm one of the top instructors in theta healing now, and I'm loving my life at the age of 60. So that's my 60 years in 2 minutes, hopefully.
That was a beautiful response, because I learned so much. I would love to know from my listeners, this is something I do with every interview. I basically ask the, tell me a little bit about your journey question. And I do that intentionally because it gives my listeners and me a little bit more of a window into who you are and why. And wow, the things you've navigated, I didn't know about the short leg thing. And I didn't know even about the cancer thing. I think it's quite fascinating, isn't it? We've all had our own challenges in life. They come in different forms. I think you're right. If we can turn them into gain and we can turn them into gratitude, then we come out the other side. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this concept of turning pain into gain. What does that mean to you?
So if you have negative thoughts and you're going around in circles and cycles and you find that you can't get off that railway track of I've got to do this, I've got to do that, you can't stop your train. Well, then maybe pull into a side, you know, space, or stop at a station at some point and just go, okay, I need to take a breath. Is there something that I'm missing? Is there something that can help me better than doing this, just staying on this track? And then you'll find other opportunities will open up. And so for me, Reiki was the foundation tool. I loved it. It grounded, centered me, gave me this meditational focus. It helped me to feel me. You know, how often, and I'd love for your listeners now, take both your hands, place them on your heart, close your eyes and just take one big deep breath in. Pause and then slowly breathe it out. Now, how many of you are just focusing on your breath, and how many of you actually felt your hands on your chest? How many of you have felt the heat of your hands on your chest? How many of you were able to do that without thinking? So this is the thing. We have to really practice to get into a space of peace at times of chaos. And Vianna Steibel, who founded Theta Healing, she says, I want to teach my teachers, practitioners, to be able to meditate and go into the theta brainwave, even in a place of war. Now, when you're in a class of 150 people and there's so much noise from talking and people sharing, that's when Vianna gets us to be linking in, doing body scans, focusing on time travel, bilocating, doing all sorts of incredible things, even to bending spoons without getting distracted by the chaos outside. And so this is what I want to bring to the table today, is that we've all got our story, but how have we cope with our story? It's not the issue that's the problem. The problem comes is when we can't take hold or control that issue. And it might be stepping away, taking a breath, turning your back on something, or just completely changing your life, or just holding space for a moment, taking two or three deep breaths and saying, I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm secure.
I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm secure. Mm. Okay, I think we can remember that. And I think even that practice of bringing hands onto the heart, and I was present, but then I realized, oh, I've squished my hair in between my two hands. Maybe I should move them. Oh no, I'll just leave them. Like a little bit of that.
Yeah. I mean, how many of us have a go at meditation and then that little thought goes, oh, I wonder if I've got to go and get peas as well. Oh no, I think I better go and ring my partner because he might want peas. Oh, you know, oh, the dog needs some biscuits. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh no, I've got to breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's learning to cut out the chatter and the natter.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. Can you share with us some specific practices, if you're able to describe one or two things that we can do? Because as you said, we all have our story. We all have our challenges in life. What are some things we can do practically to turn the pain into gain?
Yes. So I had extreme hip pain and extreme knee pain in 2012. After the chemotherapy, it left me with osteoporosis, chronic osteoporosis. It is now healed, okay, through nuts and seeds and good food and visualization and working on programs and beliefs that weren't serving me for the highest and best. And with the practice of, say, theta healing, we understand, and Louise L. Hay's work, you know, we understand that the bones are like a tuning fork from earth to God or creator. And so if we've got an issue with our father, say, or the males in our life, then we may have a disconnect with the connecting to God creator. Okay. So, and if we've got a problem with a mother or maternal or female people in our life, then we might have problems connecting with the earth. So I want to start there, really. I had a real issue connecting with God. My mother died when I was 12, 6 months after I had my leg stretched. She'd been ill with cancer for 5 years and she died. I said at that time, I will never believe in God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't want anything to do with God. I went through this godless time up until I found Reiki. Now, I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual, soulful person. I embrace everybody's beliefs. But that's what I would say is my pain became a gain because I could focus into myself in the end and meditate. I could touch myself and feel myself. I could feel my presence. And my ex-husband, John, he bought me some seedlings one day because he knew how I had an aversion to gardening. I found with my work that a lot of women, especially, but people who've had problems with their maternal or mother sides of things, I ended up with a wicked stepmother. I couldn't garden. I didn't want to garden. I had plants that I would allow to die. I wouldn't feed them. I wouldn't water them. And that was a reflection of me. Okay. He bought me seedlings. I grew them. I ended up growing a flourishing 1 meter by 1 meter garden, which had corn and tomatoes and peppers and all sorts in it. And then I realized I'd had a breakthrough. I could nurture myself. I was worthy. I am important. So if you want to just say yes to receiving those downloads, here goes. And I'll give you a little taster. Creator of all that is, it's commanded that. The downloads of I am important, I am worthy, I am loved, I am nurtured, I'm safe and secure. Would you like those? You just say yes, and then they're downloaded across all cells, times, planes, dimensions, in all ways. Thank you. It's done. It's done. It's done. And just pause for a moment and just let that energy come in. You can breathe in and say, I have this in my life right now. Yeah. So that's one example of turning pain into gain, is get into something that you love, find something that sparks your desire, your passion, and get in touch with yourself. Yeah.
I reckon that is a potential aha moment for some of our listeners who may have had issues with their mother or the motherhood role in their life, and the gardening thing and the self-nurturing and the connection between that. If you're listening and you've had a bit of an aha moment and you're happy to share, let us know. You can send us a text 2057. You can email inbox@realitycheck.radio. So fascinating. Can you finish this sentence for me, Pip? I am important. I am worthy. What was the one more?
I am loved, I'm nurtured, I am secure, I'm safe.
And is this something we can say aloud or say in our mind? Yeah.
So you can call them an affirmation, because affirmations are a positive statement and they usually start with I am. I am. I am wonderful. I am abundant. So I could give a little example about, from financial perspective, would you like me to give a little example?
I would.
Okay. So finances, what's money? Money's energy, okay? So if we're lacking in energy in ourselves, we're torn here and there and people at us, or we're working two jobs. How on earth can we have good energy within us? Okay, the food you eat, the supplements you take, the water you drink, the air that you breathe, the rest that you have, they're the basics. So if you can get as good a food as you can buy and afford, and drink filtered water that doesn't have the chlorine and the fluoride in it, you know, and so on and so on, you're going to be better off than before. Okay. And then the next thing I would say is the soils in New Zealand are lacking so much in nutrients. So I'm not a huge advocate of supplements, but sometimes we need to boost our food intake up with selenium, you know, and this is where we you know, my partner's business is Naturworks and Soul, and I do the marketing and sales for that, and work alongside him, and we provide Naturworks and salts. And so that will help you to relax the muscles, to get more oxygen into your body, to ease those aches, strains and pains. And you can have the inner foot spa, you can just lie in the bath. And I've just found a way of not having to carry a big heavy bucket, and that's to fill it up in the shower, get your chair, get your book, put your feet in the bucket in the shower, and then when you finish, you just carefully tip it down, and you know, and that's it. But you know what I would also say is with money, it's how we think. So if you say, oh, my parents, they were always worried about the house being taken, or money going through their fingers, or money's the root of all evil, or maybe you have a vow of poverty from a past life experience. How do you know all of this? Start listening to the words you use. And if you are saying things like that, then maybe you want to change the vocabulary to yourself and instead replace it with, I am abundant. I have plenty. I am worthy and deserving of plenty of money, wealth, health in all ways. And ask your creator, your God, your goddess energy to deliver it in a way that no one's harmed. It doesn't come through someone having to die to leave you the money, or you hurting yourself through an insurance claim. You want and know and need, but just ask, Creator God, assist me now. I am abundant. I have plenty. My bills are all paid. I have plenty to share. You know, the more we say plenty, and that we have a choice and we have options, then it comes. So give that a go. I'll offer that out as a little challenge for the week. Listen,
the power of the word plenty. All right, I'm writing it down.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know that very many of our listeners will be already doing that or very open to doing that. Some of our listeners will be rolling eyes or thinking, no, that's not going to work. But as always, I always encourage my listeners to be open-minded to different ways of doing things and different ways of showing up in your life and just see what magic flows in. So thank you for walking us through that. I'd love to ask you a little bit more about the Epsom salts for personal reasons, because I genuinely want to know. And I think it's also really helpful. Most people have heard of Epsom salts. Many people won't know exactly how to use them. Like me, I put them in the bath, and then I add some essential oils, and maybe I'll add, what did I do the other day? Oh, a little bit of apple cider vinegar for a foot bath. But what are we actually meant to put in, and how much Epsom salt, like what is the ratio to the bucket of water or the liters?
Absolutely. So it's been really interesting coming into this world of natural Epsom salt. I come from England. You might have guessed from the accent there. And I come from a county called Surrey. And in Surrey, there's a place called Epsom. And Epsom was the place that Epsom salt was originally named after. And that's where the salts came from. But there was a limited source of Epsom salt. So what happened was, you know, over the hundreds of years of people using it for health benefits, a German company, we buy our salts from a German company and bring it here to New Zealand. They're top quality natural Epsom salts, and it's magnesium sulfate heptahydrate. Okay, that's the posh name of it.
It's like, say it with me. Okay.
Yeah, magnesium sulfate heptahydrate, which means that it is very readily soluble in water. And so it's a pure white, beautiful crystal, and it can be used in a bath. And depending on who you are, why you're doing it, how often you bath, I would say start off with a bath of as hot a water as safe for you. Okay. Everybody's different. And put in half a cup in a whole bath and see how you feel. Do you sleep better that night? If you sleep better that night, that's great. If you find that it's a little bit too much, because some people do say that it detoxes them, you see. Mm-hmm. So if you've got osmosis of a rich salt in a bath, you know, it's going to draw out, you know, sweat from your skin. And if you have got toxins, then it could be doing that. So you might want to then go to quarter just to maintain yourself, or if you're happy to detox. And sometimes when you detox, just remember you might get a little cold symptoms, you might get change of bowel habit, it might cause you a little bit of tummy thing, but it's just a temporary thing because your body's adjusting. So I'd start with quarter of a cup or half a cup. But for those, you know, hardened people who love Epsom salts, you know, you could go to a cup once a week, or some may do it twice a week. Now, if you're going to do it more than twice a week because you've got arthritis or rheumatism, or you a sports person and you are aching a lot from, you know, strenuous exercises or gardening or so on, you might want to have a bath every night. Now, there's nothing stopping you in having Epsom salts in your bath every night. But as I say, if you've never used it before, try a quarter of a cup and build up gradually and slowly and just see how it feels for you. For those of you who haven't got a bath, that's okay. You know those wobbly rubbery buckets that you can buy from the shops, you know, with the handles, and you can use them for laundry tubs? Yeah. So they're quite tall, which is great. So the Chinese believe that if you fill one of those up to above calf level, so just below your knee, and you do it as hot as is safe for you, you put your quarter of a cup or half a cup in there, it speeds up your heart rate. And your heart rate speeds up, it then pushes down with gravity any yuckies out through the soles of your feet. That's the idea, in the skin of your legs and feet. And then it returns your blood cleaner and fresher. You know, that's the thoughts behind that. It's anecdotal. But my friend who has a Singaporean mum, he said, oh, my mum uses it every week, once a week, 20 minutes in a foot bath. That's what she does. So if you find it works, go for it. If it's worth a try, go for it. And just have a practice. Now, some people do buy Epsom salts, take it internally. We're not herbalists, we're not doctors, we're not this, we're not that. But our at-nature Epsom salts are essentially food grade, but we promote them as for external use. But if you did choose to do that, you know, please consult. But, you know, you could do that. And some people do that for cleansing their bowel or their livers. But you need to talk to someone and get a good grounding and support recipe for that.
Do you sometimes find if someone was doing a detox foot bath, for example, meaning they put in half a cup or even a cup, would the color of the water indicate that they've been detoxing? Does it go a little bit reddy brown or what?
No. You can buy those foot spas which have got those ionic things that drop in there, and that does a bit. No, Epsom salt, I haven't found that myself, but then maybe I've been on such a good cleansing diet and looking after myself, I haven't got much more to cleanse out really. But I'd be interested to hear from your readers, you know, your listeners, what their experiences are. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I thank you for mentioning about the bucket, because not everyone has an actual bath. I'm a 2 bath a week kind of girl, and the hotter the better, because I love hot water. Yeah. But one thing I found as the mother of 3 teenagers, I've got 1 that still loves a bath and 2 that never have a bath. But sometimes if they're studying and I say, oh, do you want me to bring you a hot foot bath.
Yes.
I'll bring the bucket to them. I don't put them in the shower. I'll bring the bucket to them and I can put Epsom salts or some oils and things in there and give them a lovely, healthy foot bath. And they like it just while they're sitting there studying. Yeah. So that's a little tip. If anyone has teenagers that aren't really into kind of holistic health, you can kind of do it a little bit by stealth by giving them a foot bath.
I think that's beautiful and it's so nurturing. And I had a girlfriend who'd driven a long way and I sat her out on my patio and made her a mint tea and I said, I'm going to bring you a treat. And I brought out the bucket. She had her feet in there. She felt so special. And you can put that water on your citrus plants. Yes.
Oh,
put it into the ground because it's magnesium. Yes.
Amazing. That's great. I love it. So we can reuse the water once it's cool. Yeah. Once it's cooled down, we can put it on the base, not on the actual plant, right? And around the roots, around the base of the citrus. That's great. I've got grapefruit and oranges just finished. We're down to our last few oranges on our tree, but our lemon tree is prolific. It is dripping with lemons at the moment. So, I'll do that with my foot bath water. Thank you so much. So, while we're on the note of Epsom salts, so you're going to be at the NZDSOS both conferences. I'm going to be at the Auckland one. For those of you listening, if you missed my interview, I did interview Anna Petley a few weeks back about the NZDSOS conference. You can check out the replay. But long story short, there's two in-person conferences. Last year, there was just one, so everyone had to come to Auckland. But this year, they've got a Christchurch one. And there's also online tickets available and an incredible lineup of speakers. In fact, I just was listening to Paul interview one of the speakers who's coming and he was talking about psychological, the psychology side of the last 4 years and how so many people just believed what they were told. So it was really fascinating. It's going to be an incredible event. Are you going to have the Epsom salts there in small bags and big bags? Because I want a really big bag.
Yes, absolutely. What we've done is we've had a team of beautiful people, community, who we've met over the past 4 years. And when you say past 4 years, wow, I wouldn't change those friends for anything now, you know. So that's a win. So, yes, we can bring sacks down to Christchurch if people could put their order in before we leave because they're 25 kilos. And we would appreciate actually knowing exactly how many to bring. But we are bringing 100 4-kilogram buckets and we're bringing an array of newly branded salt products with us. And they are rose, chamomile, lavender and the plain small bags. And then we've got the plain 4-kilogram buckets as well. So we're very excited.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll put my order in ahead of time as well, if that helps you. Definitely. All right. Speaking of the last 4 years, I would love to know, what have you learned about yourself through the journey of the last 4 years, as we call them, the COVID years? And maybe what have you learned about yourself or humanity?
Yes. Well, coming from a nursing perspective, as I said, 20 years in the health system, I was sucked in initially. Yeah. Sucked in at the 4 o'clock announcement for 3 weeks. Then a big question mark came over me. Why are we wearing masks? Why is this happening? What is being told to us? And then I had this sinking feeling. And then I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a war on humanity. And I was shocked, disappointed, angry, lost down a rabbit hole like many. But there was this unerring feeling within me, this stance to not go on the journey to have the jab. I feel for those that were pushed into it and decided to, but now regret. But, you know, there are solutions and there are so many people out here helping people in the background. And I see that the community's pulled together and, you know, we never stopped having haircuts. My friend came around and did our hair in my carport. We didn't stop going to the cinema. I changed my teaching space into a cinema and I had 15 children one Christmas time. We didn't stop going out in groups when we were told we could only have 10 people in each group. We would meet in a group of 70 people in groups of 10 outside the police station at Cambridge on the grass. we would crack open the wine at the same time. You know, I found my creativity. But, you know, I sat down by the war memorial by the town hall in Cambridge, and I looked at the fallen soldier statue, and I said out loud, I said, what would you think right now? You stood, you died for freedom. What would you want to say? And just at that moment, the siren, we've got this old-fashioned war siren type thing going on the town hall. It went off and I heard, wake up! And from that moment on, I was on the roundabout with my protest sign 5 days a week for probably a year and a half.
Yes, you were so committed.
Yeah, I committed, you know. So it's like my warrior me came out, but I did end up with PTSD. And what I would say to people is know your limits, know your boundaries, have good support around you. You can be part of the change, but know that we are part of the change. We're not having to take the whole change on ourselves. And I feel that's what I saw, was I had to take the whole world on.
You seem to have such an incredible nurturing side of you, and you also have this warrior side of you. But it does take its toll sometimes as well. And I know the work that you do, working with people, helping them with their emotions and turning their pain to gain, must take its toll as well. What qualities for yourself, like what qualities do you see in yourself that have helped you to do the work that you do?
Oh, wow. Strength, tenacity, creativity, bloody-mindedness, being an Aries, going through the troubles that I had in my early life. You know, by the time I was 12, I'd gone through agonizing surgery, a built-up shoe that was about 3.5 inches tall for 12 years of my life.
Wow.
And my mum dying of cancer after 5 years of chemotherapy, and actually going to live at different people's houses when she was in hospital for 6 weeks during her chemotherapy. We were in and out of home, very disrupted. So I feel that led me to having the tenacity, the strength to question. And I don't take things at face value. I'm the pain in the neck who will sit there when I was having my chemotherapy and say to the doctor, are you sure? No, I don't want the painkiller. No, I don't want the antiemetic. I don't want this. I'm going to eat my pendulum out and I'm going to test it. You know, I feel if you don't feel you have those attributes or virtues, you can find them by linking in. I find them by linking in with a past life journey, going to an ancestor, finding an ancestor that has overcome traumas or tribulations or pains, and then downloading those downloads to me. It's an amazing process. Mm.
Well, I think it's you've been through so much, and I think that you can possibly some of the work that you do is help people release what they've been through, or at least process it or see it differently, because it would be really easy to fall into seeing things as, you know, from that victim mindset. But if we can turn our pain into gain, it can be so beautiful. I'd love to ask you the Up Your Brave question. I know you've already done so much, but is there anything specific that you would like to do if you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024?
Oh, wow. Yes, I would like to pursue the challenging councils theme that I'm on. I would like to assist people going through trauma to release it on a bigger scale, easily, effortlessly, and safely. And I would love to go on holiday and relax and have some fun and look forward to this Christmas and having lots of people and lots of great people around. That's what I would like to do.
Well, you definitely seem like you'd be a fun person to be around. And your name is Philippa Joy, and you would look like you're full of joy. How can we connect with you if people are listening and they either want to order some Epsom salts or they would love to find out more about the healing that you do? Sure. Where can they find you?
Great. So my website is ladyrainbowheart.co.nz. And we have got a shop there. I've got my session page there. If you just want to chat, just to connect, it'll be just great. I live in Cambridge. I do Zoom. I am on Facebook, Instagram, you know, so Pip at Lady Rainbow Heart. Thank you. And thanks so much, Natalie. Yeah.
Oh, that's so amazing. Pip, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yes, I'd love to do this. I'd love to read an excerpt from my book, Cosmic Radiance Discovery by Philippa Joy. It's a Hawaiian prayer, the Ho'oponopono. It's a reconciliation and forgiveness prayer. So if you'd like to just take a moment and just close your eyes, you can put your hands on your heart and take a breath in and out. Divine Creator, Father, Mother, Son, as one, if I, my family, relatives and ancestors have offended you, your family, relatives or ancestors in thoughts, words, deeds or actions from the beginning of our creation to the present, we ask for forgiveness. Let this cleanse, purify, release, cut all the negative memories, blocks, energies and vibrations and transmute these unwanted energies to pure light. And it is done. Repeat in your minds now, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Namaste. And just slowly bringing yourselves back into this space, knowing that you can visit that peaceful state and visit the Ho'oponopono whenever you require. Recenter ground and bring yourselves into space of awareness, into the now, into the presence, and you can open your eyes. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pip. What a beautiful way to finish the interview. And is your book also available on your website?
Yes, it is. And it's a little book of joy and it's a jewel and it's very colourful and lots of information about how to stay healthy. And, you know, the things that we've spoken about today, it covers all of that, plus earth healing, animal healing. And it's got 8 modules in there that you can follow.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Pip, for joining us today and sharing your wisdom about turning pain into gain. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Natalie.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.